right, welcome back to Corn Belt Conversations. I'm your host, Troy Kazire. Today we have John Breen. John is an agronomy division manager with AgReliant Genetics. John, thanks for joining us today.
Troy, thanks for having me. I'm pretty excited about our time together today.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't we, before we kind of delve into our topic today, John, why don't you take a few minutes here and tell us a little bit about what an agronomy division manager does, kind of your roles and responsibilities, and maybe the, you know, the kind of outline the geography you cover.
Oh, sure will, Troy. So agronomy division manager, I am in charge of the agronomy team in my division. So I cover Michigan, Indiana, good part of Illinois, and Kentucky. So within that group of area, I am help kind of guide and direct the agronomy team as far as products, as far as knowledge, and just trying to help growers be more successful. So I'm kind of the leader of that team. I've got 7 agronomists on my team that cover a broad range of acres that have quite a bit of knowledge base, and well, we just enjoy helping growers become better at their profession every day.
Yeah, very good. And it's kind of one of the projects that you're pretty heavily involved in that you've really spearheaded that we wanted to talk about today, a project that you've involved a lot of your agronomists with, and that is this corn tissue sampling project that you've been working on for several years now. So kind of want to get into the details of that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the background of that project, kind of what spurred it and what really got it going?
Yeah, Troy. So this project started about 2016. There was a gentleman who come roaring onto the scenes by the name of Randy Dowdy, a 503 bushel, kind of brought the ag industry to a buzz. He brought some pretty unique insight and challenged the ag industry as a whole to kind of look at the how we do things differently. And one of those things that he did was systematic tissue sampling. And to be quite honest, prior to him coming on the scene, tissue sampling had a really kind of a bad rap in the industry. It was used as a diagnostic tool, a snapshot tool, didn't really give us much insight on what was going on in the plant. And there just wasn't much validity to the whole tissue sampling. So I had an agronomist who said, hey, I want to give this a try. And I said, well, you sure can. I'm not sure that there's any validity to it because I had my bias. So he went ahead and had a couple growers who tissue sampled once a week, just like the program. And we took the data and we graphed it out. And he showed me the data. And to be quite honest, Troy, I don't mean to sound more elaborate than what it is, but it was a moment that changed my life to see the nutrients graphed on a piece of paper to kind of track what nutrients were doing in a plant, what that plant was needing and lacking, provided some insights that I had never seen prior to this. So we have been all heads in on this project for 8 years now. And within our system, we have over 8,000 samples that have both yield and GDUs associated with them. And to be honest, it's not only just the tissue sampling, but it's understanding nutrients at a level I've never been able to prior to this.
So, yeah, and I'm really interested to get into some of the results here and what you're learning. But before we get there, maybe you can kind of explain a little bit about the protocol itself. So when are you taking these samples, or, you know, how are you taking them? Is there anything in particular that you know that you're doing across the board here to get this data?
Troy, so here at AgReliant, we have a protocol put in place, and we really shoot for 6 different timings that growers will target for. And there are major events in the corn plant's life. So for instance, we tissue sample at 350, 750, 1150, 1450, 2000, and 2400 GDUs. So 6 different times, very specific times based solely on GDUs. And if you stop and think for a minute what's going on in the corn plant's life, those are major points. 350, that plant is transferring from seed to roots to ensure that we have proper amount of nutrients. 750 is right in the prime of ear development, 1150 would be your ear elongation. 1450 is right around that pollination window when we're making that transition from vegetative to reproductive. Then the last two are also at some pretty critical reproductive stages. So we've got a system in place that helps us identify the key kinds, and we go out and we sample. So how we also do this is, in order to get consistency, that's part of the problem with tissue samples is being consistent. We ask growers to go out in their field, and the first time they sample is to flag off a section of their field the same width as their grain or the corn head. So for the 16 row corn head, they would mark off 16 rows. And those 16 rows, the whole length of the field, are where the tissue samples are pulled each time. What that allows us to do is keep consistency where we're pulling, but then at harvest, we can pull the exact yield from that strip that we pulled that data from. So we get both things very consistent and very reliable. We like to ensure growers do it at the same time of day. If you pull them in the morning, just keep pulling them in the morning, and it just tends to work really well that way. So it's kind of a systematic approach that tries to eliminate as much error and inconsistency that we can.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I like the concept there of targeting those specific moments in the corn plant's development. Just like you said, very critical moments, and it's I'm sure you're getting a lot of insight as to what's happening there at those times in the plant's life. So I know this is a little bit difficult. This is audio only. It's a lot more helpful if you've got visual graphs and things to look at, but let's kind of start talking about what it is you're learning there and kind of walk us through what you've been seeing and some of the trends that you've identified.
Yeah, Troy, if you are not passionate about nutrients, I'm hoping to change that with this conversation, because it's pretty exciting. So what we are seeing with corn plants through our tissue sampling are several key things. The first one is the importance of front loading the corn plant. We like to equate the corn plant to a thoroughbred racehorse. When you open that gate for a Kentucky Derby, that horse takes off and runs as fast and as hard as they possibly can. And that is the exact same thing that a corn plant does. When that seed emerges, it is off to the races. It needs everything it can get to start off with. Once you start low on your nutrient concentrations in your plants, you can never build them back up. So if you're striving for high yields, or even if you're striving to gain more yields for your farm, front loading that system with a whole plethora of nutrients is this really the beginning. And we didn't really know that from the start. That is one of the biggest eye-opening moments that we've had through this whole process, is that front loading. The second big eye-opening process that we have seen is the importance of the last 750 GDUs, right? The first 750 are really important, and we all know that. The last 750 GDUs are probably just as important or more important. And the main reason for that is the way that our genetics are acting today. 10, 20 years ago, genetics were all kernel number driven. So it's the number of kernels around or the number of kernels long. That truly is what drove yield. But that's not what genetics do today. Most genetics on the market today are driven by the grain fill period, meaning that we add more starch to the kernels. They get bigger, they get heavier, and that's where our yield is added. And without nutrients late into the season, we really can't maximize that grain fill period. You know, it's absolutely mind-boggling on some other studies that we have done is 10 to 14 days prior to black layer, we still have 20 to 25% of our yield to put in that on that ear yet. So in a 200 bushel environment, that's 40 bushels. You do that on a 300 bushel environment, that's an astronomical number that corn plant is building the last 10 to 14 days. So ensuring we have enough nutrients is so critical at that point in time.
Yeah, and you think about, and back on the other end too, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking about, like you said, that plant gets off to the races as it switches over from its seed root system to its nodal root system. That really drives home the importance of having a good seed bed planting in the right conditions, right? Because if you've got some compaction, those roots can't develop early on, we're really setting that plant back and not allowing it to get to that fertility that it needs.
You're right, Troy. The roots are everything. A corn plant designed to take up almost all the nutrients via the roots. So for a grower pursuing high yield, the more root mass that you can have to intercept more nutrients, more water, it is extremely critical. So you start off slow with a slow root mass due to maybe some sidewall compaction or just compaction in general. We're limiting what that root zone can intercept as far as nutrients go. And when you think about the nutrient load, there's a direct correlation to the amount of nutrients that you have in your plant to yield. So if you limit early, you're going to limit late as well.
So in general, and again, I know this is difficult without the visuals, but in general, what are the trends that you see as you transition or as you go from one timing to the next in these at these sample timings that you're doing? What's the trend, overall trend in nutrient percentage and concentration in that plant? Is it kind of just a linear trend, or do you see some peaks and valleys through that life cycle, or what does that look like?
Troy, that question really varies by nutrients. So just depending on the nutrient kind of gives you the general trend of that line. So if you take, for instance, for our nitrogen, you know, nitrogen is needed in that corn plant from beginning to end. And there's a constant draw from the soil. So there's a constant need for that. The goal to nitrogen is to not have any valleys. You want that to be a pretty straight line going across your tissue sample. Now it's going to trend downward no matter what you do, but there's some other reasons for that. But you want that trend line to be a straight line. You don't want it to look like a heartbeat monitor. You want it to be a straight line. And anytime you have a dip in one of these nutrient levels, that's telling that corn plant that I'm limited on this nutrient, and I'm thus then going to lower my yield potential. You take phosphorus, for instance, it should be essentially a straight line all the way across from 750 GDUs all the way to black layer. Phosphorus is extremely important and used every day of a corn plant's life. Maybe not in a large amount, but it's extremely important in growing the plant and, most importantly, forming the grain. And then you take a product like potassium. And potassium, we call that our factory builder. It's what builds a factory. So when you think about the corn plant as a factory, it is essentially built by that 1,450 GDUs. So potassium has a huge draw from 350 to 1,450 GDUs. The corn plant just cannot get enough potassium in most cases. So you see a really drastic drawdown in that environment. And then after 1,450, it really doesn't affect yield at any point. It just is part of that nutrient plan. So each one of these nutrients is just a little bit different how it reacts and what that linear line looks like. But understanding what that nutrient is doing in the plant can also help us ensure we're putting it on at the right time, at the right rate, and at the right amount.
So you obviously, we've talked about how you correlate it to the different key stages in the life cycle of the plant. You said you also correlate it to yield environment. So I'm curious as to what you're seeing, you know, talking about those same trends. What does that look like in a, say, 150 bushel yield environment versus a 300 bushel yield environment?
So the general consensus, Troy, goes back to at your yield level, overall nutrient, your grass numbers will be lower the lower the yield level is. At the higher yield level, you're going to have higher nutrient concentration. That would be essentially for all nutrients. So if you would graph out a 150 bushel field, that your line would be lower on the graph than your 300 bushel. And that just goes back to that correlation again. The more nutrients you have in your plant, the higher the yield potential. And if you think about your farm, if a grower is listening to this, and think about their farm, I'm willing to bet that if you look at a simple soil test on the most productive acre that they have, their nutrient levels across the board are at an elevated level versus their poorest field. And that just equates the corn plant as well. Lower nutrient levels in the soil mean less nutrients to bring in, which ultimately tends to equate to a lower yield potential.
Yeah, so what about, and of course, you know, obviously a full disclosure here, I've seen your data, I've seen what you you know, kind of the results of what you've done over the last several years. One of the, I don't know if you want to call it a black sheep, or, you know, one of those nutrients that seems to not play by that typical rule is magnesium, right? Why don't you kind of go into what you've seen with magnesium?
Yeah, magnesium is the only nutrient that we have found where less is more. When you look at our graph, you look at our data, all the high yielding fields have lower magnesium levels in their plants than lower yielding fields. So there's really only one way you can interpret that, is that high levels of magnesium in a plant limit yield. They're going to limit the uptake of the other nutrients. They're going to slow that plant down. So for growers who have high mag soils, you know, to be quite honest, that's most of Ohio, most of Indiana, a good chunk of Eastern Illinois has high mag soils. And when we talk about high mag soils, we're talking about base saturation of 18 to 30%. That is what we would consider high mag soil. And when mag, it does not play well with anybody. And that when you get high levels, it looks, according to our data, like there is a major interaction when it comes to yield potential. Very fascinating standpoint. So for growers who are battling high mag soils, I'm convinced that that is our limiting factor on gaining really high yields, is that high bag level.
Yep, absolutely. And of course, you know, a lot of areas of Illinois, which is where I'm at, are dealing with sources of limestone, for example, that are very high in magnesium, which definitely adds to that challenge when you're trying to balance things out. So what, you know, what are you, obviously, you know, this is one piece of the puzzle, right? I just had Fred Bielo on from the University of Illinois a couple episodes ago, talked about his seven wonders of the corn world. And obviously there's other variables at play here, but you know, what is it that you're telling, what's kind of your main take home messages when you talk to growers about what you're learning here?
So Troy, what brought this about, to be quite honest, was our discussions with growers who were doing a lot of the things right. So what do I mean by that? Well, there's still some basic agronomic things that every grower has to do in order to gain high yields. You know, the first one is you have to have your pH in check. You've got to have your pH in that 6.3 to 6.8, depending on where you're at in the world. And if you're, you know, if you're at the other spectrum where you have high pH, it's just as challenging as low pH. So having your pH right is so critical. And you mentioned earlier about root zones, having roots that aren't restricted is another key agronomic portion to that. Solid weed control, while we take that for granted, a weedy field is going to drastically affect our yield potential. The other one that we really have spent a lot of time on as we climb this yield ladder is uniform emergence, how we have to have those plants up within 24 hours of each other, and the significant yield loss of 100 to 200 bushel if you're 48 hours or later. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. So it doesn't matter what the nutrient levels are if you don't get those basic fundamental agronomic things correct. So we were visiting with some of these growers who were doing some things just right. They had really nice stands. They had really good seed bed preparation. They were really good handling all the basic agronomics, but they were not able to increase their yield. There was something that was plateauing them. So we began introducing them to this tissue sampling idea so that we can actually kind of see what is going on inside the plant. You know, one of the challenges is you can't fix something unless you can measure it. And so without measuring what was going on in the plant, we couldn't really even tell if the grower's fertility program was working. We apply product, fertilizers, dry, liquid, and we just assume the corn plant takes it in. But what we're finding is that's not the case. When it comes to dry fertilizer, it is dry fertilizer is a long game approach to fertility. One of the interesting things that we found through this study was one of the agronomists wanted to figure out how to get more potassium into the corn plant. So they went out with a buggy spreader and they took potassium chloride and they literally made the ground red. They put thousands of pounds of potassium chloride on the soil, worked it in, trying to figure out how to get more potassium in there. And what we found, this is quite astonishing, is that it took him 6 years to pick up that potassium in the plant from when he applied that onto the soil. Most growers, and myself included before this, would have said, okay, I put 1,000 pounds out there. Plant's obviously taking it up. I'm getting benefit. But that is not the case. So once again, it's understanding what's coming into the plant that allows us to identify those holes that we can plug and help that grower really begin to add yield to his farm.
Yeah, exactly. And like in, you kind of touched on this too, just because you're showing signs of a deficiency of a nutrient doesn't necessarily mean there isn't enough of that nutrient there, right? There could be other things, whether it's the compaction and root restriction that we talked about, you know, there could be other things. This is a, you know, this is a symptom of the problem, and this at least helps you start to look for the root cause and be able to address that to be able to get to the next step.
Yeah, Troy, the other interesting fact is these growers that we're dealing with that were working with us on these nutrient levels, when we look at them from a tissue sample level standpoint, we might say that they're low. But the grower never, ever sees a deficiency sign from the corn plant. The corn plant's green, looks healthy. There is nothing that strikes you as being out of whack. Not until you start taking samples that you can begin really evaluating this. So just because you don't see a deficiency sign, such as potassium or nitrogen, it doesn't mean that level is optimal in the corn plant. And one of those that I'll talk about showing that is a calcium. You know, in 20 some years I've been doing this, I don't believe I've ever seen a corn plant show me calcium deficiency symptoms. I just have never seen that. But you start looking at the samples and we don't always carry what I would consider optimal levels for high yield. They're not levels that are going to cause deficiency signs, but they're not also high enough that's going to help me drive yield. So we can't just go off deficiencies and saying everything is great, because that's not always the case. It's kind of like your own body. From the outside, you might look really healthy, but on the inside, you might have a major migraine that no one knows about unless you would tell them. Well, the corn plant can't tell us. So we've got to use these tests to figure that out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it's critical data to have in order to try to get to that next step. And you know, it really doesn't matter where you're at, that next step requires data. Whether you're, like you said, whether you're in a 170 bushel yield environment or a 300 bushel yield environment, everybody has the ability to get to the next step, but they need that data to be able to do it.
Yes, correct.
So where do you go from here? Is there anything differently that you're looking at doing, different correlations, or are you just trying to expand your sample base, or where are you going from here with this, John?
So Troy, I think the next step of this project will mirror what a lot of the ag industry is talking about today. When you think about the plants, we're growing it in a medium called soil, and the soil has a tremendous amount of nutrients in it. So there's a lot of talk about soil health and ensuring that your soils are healthy, that your microbial activity is releasing these nutrients at a high level, and that your soil is working for you and not against you. So we have a group of agronomists who are beginning to dive into this soil health. How do we release more nutrients from our soil? And how do we get those nutrients into the corn plant in a more consistent and reliable way? Is there something that we can do from a biological standpoint? Is there something we can do from a carbon source standpoint? So I think we're at the point where we have a really good understanding of where the levels need to be. We have a pretty good understanding of how we can use fertilizer and other amendments to change those levels. But if we're going to be sustainable and if we're going to continue to drive this, we have to figure out how to unlock this soil in order to help us. And I think soil health, cover crops, carbon sources, biologicals are where we're beginning to look to see if there's something there that we don't already know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, great, great information, John. So for anyone who's listening and maybe wants to learn a little bit more about this project, where can they go to find out a little bit more or maybe see how they could participate?
Yeah, so Troy, if anyone is interested in learning more or even learning more about AgriGold and what we can do for them, the best place to go is to our website, www.agrigold.com. On there is a plethora of information. There's a place for us. If you would like to be contacted or you have questions, you can fill that out and someone will get back with you. But we sure would love you to get on the website, find a little bit more about AgriGold, find out a little bit more about this tissue sampling and how we can help you grow your yields.
Very good. Well, great information, John. Appreciate you sharing that with us. John Breen, Agronomy Division Manager with AgriLiant Genetics. John, thanks again for taking the time with us today.
Troy, thank you for letting me share our story and thank you for your time. And I want to thank everybody for listening today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again. And we'll see you next time, the next Corn Belt Conversation. Thank you.